Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Mark Striegel,
John Astronomy,
the Talking Metal Podcast, coming to you from the Silver Spacecraft. I'm Bud Friendly, and now your hosts, Mark and John.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Talking Metal. Mark Striegel talking to you solo today. Boy, I had a blast doing that last live show with John Astronomy, Bud Friendly, and the gang over at Bionic. I wanted to mention a few things that I said that were wrong during that. Abby, I think her name is Abby Gennett, I'm not sure, married to Brett Scallion's, the singer of Fuel. She, I think in the last live show in one of those hours, I said that she was not on VH1 and MTV2. That, of course, was wrong. And after I said it, I did remember that. So my apologies to anybody who was listening to that, who took offense to that. I wasn't trying to cut her down or in any way, shape, or form. So she definitely has a ton of television experience, MTV2, VH1, Fuse, and also had a great band I remember seeing a few times called Slunt. So not sure what's going on with them today, but I know at one point I think John interviewed them for the Talking Metal podcast. So anyways, of course, wrong on that. And Thin Lizzy, I think Victor Ruiz pointed out on the forums, Mars Airy from the Mars Attacks podcast, that Thin Lizzy currently has two original members in the band. I think I had said one. So there you go, guys. Wanted to plug Joey's wrestling podcast. He's checked in with me. He's actually a big fan of the Mark Striegel Show podcast. Joey, thanks for listening to that. And it sounds like you listen to Talking Metal too, so thanks for all your support. Anyways, check Joey out if you're a wrestling fan. He is at CNJRadio.com. I will link that through today's show notes on TalkingMetal.com. And that's for all you wrestling fans out there. Joey does a wrestling podcast, so check it out. Big news in the hard rock world. Of course, Vinnie Vincent a few weeks back arrested, domestic dispute, and hit his wife, possibly, allegedly. I don't know. Who knows? It sounds like he's denying that. He released a statement, truly, really one of the first times we've heard from Vinny in a while. It sounds like this whole incident with Vinny and his wife, actually, if you read between the lines in his statement, I'm guessing, this is all guesswork, I'm guessing it somehow brought him back in touch with his daughters. Now, I believe Vinny has two twin daughters. He used to live up in Connecticut. And his wife, get this, guys, his ex-wife, or, you know, I don't know if they were married at the time this happened or not, but the mother of his two daughters was murdered. And very tragic, you know, no matter how you look at it. And in Vinny's current statement, it sounds like he referenced something about reuniting, that this horrible incident has reunited him with family or someone, people he's been out of touch with. So maybe that was his two daughters, or who knows. But, you know, when you get your face on TMZ and kind of some negative shit written about, yeah, I'm sure your family starts reaching out to you. So listen, no matter what you say, we've always joked about Vinnie Vincent and some of the rumors that fly around. He's obviously a very private guy. Who knows how in touch he is with the online community where most of these rumors fly around. It sounds like this whole thing really shook him up, and they found four dead dogs or something on his property. And apparently his people were like, oh my God, he's killing dogs. Well, that's not the case. Apparently he actually has many, many dogs, and he would go to, I guess, kill shelters and rescue these dogs from being killed. And apparently one of them was quite violent, which is a discussion we've had on the Mark Striegel Show podcast about shelter dogs. But anyways, apparently one of them was quite violent and actually killed some of the other dogs, and he felt terrible about it. So I would love to see Vinny make a public appearance somewhere. It would be great to actually see and hear him talk again. And, you know, he's not a young man. I would think that there's probably not a lot of new music left in him, although he may disagree and like to think so. But I mean, we haven't, you know, really heard that much from him in many years. So anyways, let's put aside all the silly, nasty rumors we've heard about Vinny, and just hope that he gets things back on track. And, you know, so many people love the stuff he was involved with in Kiss, you know, especially that Lick It Up record. And of course he was even, you know, did writing on Revenge. So it'd be nice to see Vinny resurface and come out and give an interview so the fans could hear from him once again. Ozzy Osbourne released the, I guess, reissues of Diary of a Madman and Blizzard of Oz. And of course, Bob Daisley's bass and Lee Kerslake's drums are back on those records. I just got mine. I ordered it from Ozzy's website. I ordered the Legacy Edition of Diary of a Madman from his website, the day they came out, actually. And it took like close to 2 weeks for me to get it in the mail. It came yesterday. And the packaging, I think, is just awesome. The diary version of it includes a full live concert, a bonus CD, if you will, and just all sorts of great pictures and stuff. I saw Eddie Trunk tweeted that he was shocked or something that Bob Daisley's picture was not included in either of the reissues for Blizzard or Diary. I mean, come on, man. Of course Bob Daisley's picture is not going to be included. Quite frankly, Bob Daisley's picture was not on the original vinyl release of Diary of a Madman. It was Rudy and Tommy, and of course Lee and Bob played on the record, but Rudy and Tommy had their pictures on it. I mean, it's like, after all the shit Daisley has given Ozzy through the years, with lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit, you know, reconciling, working with him, and then turning around and suing him once again. I mean, if you read Ozzy's book, I mean, it sounds like the guy has just been a constant thorn in the side of Ozzy throughout Ozzy's career. And no matter whose side you're on, why would Ozzy put Daisley's picture on this on either of these reissues? Especially when you look back at their relationship. I mean, I'm not surprised whatsoever. It is nice, I think, to have the original bass and drum tracks restored to the album. I think that's great, you know? So let's just be happy with that and move forward. Ozzy, of course, in his autobiography said that he was against re-releasing the Diary and Blizzard album without Bob and Lee's tracks, but that I think he kind of pawns it off on Sharon. He says that, you know, management and Sharon had their reasons for wanting to do it. So Ozzy has gotten his way. The original tracks are restored. And let's check one out right now here on the Mark Strigl. Let's check one out. I almost said Mark Strigl show. You know, when I sat down here, I wasn't sure if I was going to do a Mark Strigl show or Talking Metal. But we are doing Talking Metal right now. Let me mention, if you don't know the Mark Strigl show, it's available at markstriegelradio.com in the podcast section. Also on iTunes. Anyways, let's check out a track off of Diary of a Madman right now on Talking Metal. Here's a little sound sample of You Can't Kill Rock and Roll.
Again, twisting the truth, and they're playing around with my head. Okay, the things they will do and the things they will say, but they don't really understand. Tears fill my eyes when I hear all the cries for the reason today. Obvious, other than not for us, meaning you too.
Kill Rock and Roll by the one and only Ozzy Osbourne. I mean, back to the Bob Daisley stuff, I feel like I'm one of the only, you know, few out there who side with Ozzy on this whole issue, but I mean, you know, Frank Sinatra didn't write his lyrics either, neither did Elvis Presley. You know, it's like, come on, give him a break. The reason Ozzy is Ozzy Osbourne, the reason these two records, Blizzard and Diary, are so great, are because of Ozzy's voice, Ozzy's melody lines, which I personally believe he wrote most of the melody lines, and Randy's just insane, revolutionary guitar playing. That's the bottom line. That's what makes these records so great, in my opinion. Did Daisley and Lee Kerslake's drums contribute? Sure, somewhat, but I mean, the major selling points and what makes these albums so good to me is the combination of Ozzy Osbourne's voice with Randy Rhoads' guitar playing. And that's that. I mean, if Bob Daisley is so freaking amazing and responsible for everything that he claims to be responsible, the guy seems to think he's the reason that Diary and Blizzard are such smash hits. And if that's true, where the hell are all his other great records? I mean, I enjoyed the Uriah Heep stuff he played on, and of course he was in Rainbow, but even some of their biggest songs he doesn't seem to play on. So it's like, dude, it's sometimes, I mean, he signed those deals, you know. I think he claims he won one of the lawsuits against Ozzy, and then he claims that he had Sharon's father on board and they were getting ready to do another lawsuit against Ozzy and Sharon, but that fell through after Sharon reconciled with her father. And he likes to paint the picture, the whole reason she reconciled with her father was to prevent this lawsuit that he was working on, and he claimed he had Sharon's father siding with him. It's just, dude, it's so funny, the reissues and all, you know, there he is on Brave Words and popping up all over the place, you know, spouting off again. It's just like, dude, where are all your other great records? I'm personally sick of fucking Bob Daisley, and Ozzy's voice is freaking one of a kind. He is so amazing. Would he win an American Idol competition as a young man? Probably not. Neither would Axl Rose. Neither would Bob Dylan, for that matter, or Johnny Cash. You know, it's like he's not going to be able to go do Broadway. But Ozzy has such a unique voice that's filled with such emotion, and you can hear that throughout his career, and that's what people relate to. So enough of that, and I'm sure people are pissed off because some of the extreme fanatics love to attack Ozzy and you know, think, oh, you know, the big rich guy, he's ripping off the little guy like Bob Daisley. Well, it's like I said, Ozzy's records are great because of Ozzy's voice and Ozzy's direction. You know, what he did with those first two records was he you know, took the California attitude of Van Halen, you know, and combined it with what he was doing with Sabbath, and really delivered something that was totally fresh and going into new ground musically, uncharted territory, if you will, in my opinion, what he did with Randy on those two records. I did find it interesting, you know, that they brought Rudy Sarzo in too, which definitely at that time a younger look about Rudy than what Bob Daisley had, at least in my opinion. All right, enough of that. So what else do we have happening here? We talked about Vinnie Vincent, we talked about Ozzy, and we made some corrections that I screwed up in the last live show. Thinking of June 28th for the next live show, Bud Friendly told me he might not be available that night because it's Pro Max, Bud's alter ego, the real life guy who plays Bud, is actually works in the promo television world like I do, and there's a big industry event here in New York City called Pro Max. I was actually invited to a party on the 28th, but I'd much rather do a live show. And as long as I'm doing work at Bionic, we have an agreement that I can do some talking metal lives with them. So let's hope that hooks. Let's hope that works out. Hope I think Astronomy is available that night. So Talking Metal forums, dudes, get over there. We're having a blast attacking each other and yelling at each other in the forums and arguing our points and discussing things, getting news flashes. You know, Ollie the other day reported that Bono on stage at the Oakland, California show had mentioned that he might be doing some, that U2 might be doing some sort of work with Metallica and Green Day. So, which is wild. The first place I heard about this was on the Talking Metal forums, thanks to Ollie. So, not sure what it is that they're doing together. I guess it's speculated it might be some sort of festival. Green Day, Metallica, U2. Could be interesting. I don't know how much. I guess all those bands are just so mainstream at this point that they have fans that, you know, cross different musical genres, if you will. I mean, hell, I like U2 quite a bit, or at least used to, and I would enjoy seeing them and Metallica on the stage together, you know, or doing sets, one set following another. Green Day, same thing with them. I could deal with them for probably a 30 or 40 minute set if they played all the hits. I'm not like crazy Green Day guy, but I think they have a couple real hooky things. I never thought they were all that original, but I mean they're enormous. People love them, and they definitely know how to write a good song. So very important. All right, time to check in with my baby monitor. Yeah, son Grant still sleeping. Wife and my other son Harrison are out at a little birthday party. It is 12:12. Checking in with you from my basement here, Maplewood, New Jersey. Talking Metal Podcast. Support me. Support what I do here on Talking Metal. Go to talkingmetal.com and buy a t-shirt. I'd really appreciate you guys showing some support. Other ways you can support Talking Metal, you can also support my streams on Live 365 and the Mark Striegel Show by going. You can support all three of those things by going to Mark Striegel Radio and opening up your iTunes using the links that are located on Mark Striegel Radio or using the Amazon link. A lot of you guys might shop on Amazon on a regular basis. So do me a favor. Just go to markstriegelradio.com and log into Amazon using those links right on markstriegelradio.com. That way I get a little credit for any purchase that you make on Amazon. Anything. Books, you know, MP3 player, music, whatever you buy, I get a little cut back, like 2-3% or something like that. Not much, but it helps, and it shows that you're supporting what we do here, which we do for free. And of course, there's no markup, you know, when you use the links on my site to visit Amazon or iTunes for that matter. So again, Mark Striegel Radio is the site, markstriegelradio.com, that is. We have talkingmetal.com. And markstriegel.net. I'm not on Facebook, but John Astronomy is, so you can check him out there. I'm on Twitter at twitter.com/striegel, S-T-R-I-G-L. And I am also on Twitter as twitter.com/talkingmetal. So join me in any of those settings. Oh, gosh, I got the new Saxon here. Should we check a little new Saxon out? Haven't really done much listening to this yet. So I did do a little bit. What I briefly heard sounded really good. So let's check out. This is Back in 79 off the new Call to Arms album by Saxon. Definitely support these guys. We will have links up in today's show notes that'll open up your iTunes and take you directly to Saxon. Use that, and when you know your iTunes opens up, like I just said, and you make a purchase of Saxon or any other music on iTunes, once it's opened up using our links, we get a little cut of that. So even if you don't want to buy Saxon, you want to buy something else, just go to talkingmetal.com and use any of the iTunes links to open your iTunes, and then just do a little search for whatever you're looking for, make your purchase, and that helps Talking Metal out. even TV shows, you know, whatever you buy on iTunes. All right, guys, I feel like this has been a real boring episode, so my apologies. We'll get astronomy back. I know you guys tend to like it better when we're both there together, which, again, hopefully on June 28th, we'll bang out some more podcasts in a live show setting for you. Thanks. You're Saxon.
It was back in 79 when we rode the mighty sign. It swept across the world. We came together. We never stood alone. Yeah.